Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Eli Manning, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, how perfect. Eli Manning starts us off.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, now.
He's at the Double Ranger game on Saturday.
Oh, really? Did you say hello?
No, I just saw him. They showed him on the Jumbotron.
You should have gone and said hello.
I was doing the game.
Well, you should have said, Dave, take over. You talk most of the time anyway. I'm going to go down and say hello to Eli.
Where's your Snapchat, Don?
Wasn't possible.
It wasn't.
You could have asked him if he and Peyton would do a Ranger cast. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Anyway,
that would have been awkward.
It is time now for the Big Blue Report brought to you by Jack Pocket. So we start off with the Giants on this beautiful Monday, January 9th, 2023. And now Daniel Jones gets to see if he can become playoff Eli. Can he do it? Now we know that they could play the Vikings tough. It took a long field goal for them to lose the game during the regular season. They're going to be more healthy this time. Their secondary is going to be more healthy this time. They certainly got a rest. I think 20 of 22 starters did not play against the Eagles yesterday, and the Eagles looked terrible.
Yeah.
Just a lot of field goals had them win that game, and it was a great story for Davis Webb. But now the all focus shifts to Daniel Jones. How does he play in the playoffs?
It really was the best case scenario for the Giants, right? They were able to rest the players they wanted to rest and didn't embarrass themselves in the process. They played a hard-fought game and maybe leave you a thought of, well, maybe if they played their starters, they would have won the game. They fought hard. There were so many times where they're not going to win. Just fold it up, down 19-0. You're not going to do anything here. And they continued to fight, and Webb looked good. I was happy for him. Right, I mean, he hasn't really had too many opportunities to play, and Galladay had his greatest catch as a Giant in a meaningless game. I thought that was pretty fitting.
His first touchdown as a Giant.
I'll tell you what, it's a small thing, and it's funny to obviously laugh at for with good reason, but also kind of good thing for them going into the playoffs.
You know, I thought that too. That's not a bad point.
It's like, let's get Kenny Galladay a touchdown, guys. That could be the difference. Them getting a touchdown from someone who has not been there from them all year. I think they're going to be able to play Minnesota close, guys. That could be the difference in them winning this game.
And that wasn't just a touchdown. That was an outstanding play.
Which does speak to your point that you were making last week about what's up with the whole situation with him. Did he really forget how to play football overnight?
And you saw the reaction from the sideline. And I think people were happy for Webb. I think people were happy for Galladay. And they were into it. You know, that's what we were talking about. It technically is a meaningless game as far as the standings are concerned. But you're sitting there on the sidelines and your parent. I heard Greg say this in the Jets pregame yesterday, that to a player that's worth anything, there are no such things as meaningless games. You go out there and you do your best, you play hard, you try to win. It's a divisional rival. You did have some effect or could have had an effect on who won the division. So those guys wanted to go out there and win. So I love your point, Peter, that this is still a player on this team that could have an impact on the postseason. And maybe that's a catch or that's a moment that makes him feel like he's engaged and could be a part of something if the Giants are going to make some sort of a run.
I would also go as far as saying the Giants yesterday were the exact opposite in every way, the diametrical opposition to what the Cowboys were. Cowboys played their starters hoping to get a win, but also then hoping to just get some positive momentum going forward. All they did was the opposite.
They stunk.
The Giants,
we suck,
didn't play with anyone. And their backups and everyone else and utility players ended up letting you have a kind of feel-good performance.
We get to suck on that all week.
I realize
they can suck
that
on that all week for sure.
What the F?
Yeah, there's a lot of meaningless football being played yesterday as far as like standings and all that are concerned, but the NFC just feels even more wide open than it did before the weekend. Philadelphia is good, but they didn't really put out their best performance. And Jalen Hurts clearly is not 100%. And we'll see if the week off is going to help him. But if not, everybody looks beatable. Listen, San Francisco looked great, but they started off slow. And if you listen to the players at the end of the game, they were just destroying themselves. Like, we were awful today. We got to do better. Like, I don't know if anybody really feels like they want this conference. So it makes you feel like if you're the Giants, if you're the Seahawks, if you're some of these teams that nobody's really paying attention to because you barely made the playoffs or didn't have an outstanding record, that why couldn't you make a run? Who's unbeatable? Who's untouchable in this conference?
In the NFC?
In the NFC.
No one.
San Francisco's very good.
Yeah, but you got to wonder when Mr. Irrelevant like rears its ugly head. This guy was the last pick in the draft. Now he's expected to take them to the Super Bowl. I know they have a really good defense, but come on. He's going to have to do something, and he has done a lot. But now it ratchets up a lot. I just want to get this in quickly. Our very own Coley Harvey reporting that University of Cincinnati health doctors announced that DeMar Hamlin has been released and returned to Buffalo.
Wow.
He was flown out from Cincinnati today, and he has landed in Buffalo.
I'm telling you, if I don't know what the math is on when he's able to come back with being on the IR. But if there's a world in which it could happen, guys, I think he could suit up if they made the Super Bowl. I'm not saying he'd play, but I could see him being there.
Well, he's definitely going to be there, you would think, in some way to like...
Oh, yeah, either way. He's going to physically be there.
Send the crowd into a frenzy. I thought they were going to like FaceTime him on the scoreboard yesterday. They didn't do that. But the Bills did a nice job introducing the athletic trainers, especially the guy who did the CPR that got him his heart started and really saved his life. So although it was a weird weekend, it was a really fun football weekend. A lot of good stuff going on, except if you're a Jet fan. And I've decided, by the way, the Jets have not scored a touchdown in 3 games. And I am not going to shave until they score a touchdown again. So it's going to be a while.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Are the Yankees comfortable with that?
Well, we'll see. If they're not, then I've got an ultimate decision to make, don't I?
You will, because, boy, they looked awful. But
the
outside
Yankees
of.
Or, you mean the Jets?
Well,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
Well, you just mentioned the Jets. The Yankees aren't on the table right now.
Good.
The Yankees always on the table, Don.
to a lot of our audience, you're right. outside of Peter's point about Galladay, the point so far of the show was made by Michael when he said, now we'll see if the postseason Eli is in the DNA here of Jones. Now, Jones has showed you some really good things in his regular season, but really what made Eli was not anything special in the regular season. It was what he did in the postseason.
But remember one thing, Don, I'm sure you do. The first game Eli ever played, he got shut out in the playoffs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then the next time he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right, because they got shut out by the Carolina Panthers, and they lost in Philadelphia the year after that, and then it came together for him. But still, I think that that's how you're going to get judged, what are you going to do here in what is a winnable game against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, if I can go back in the time machine to 2005, I probably thought the Giants-Panthers was a winnable game considering it was a playoff game at home, and I believe they lost 24-0, got
shut
out at
home. John, who was the coach of the Panthers back then?
It was probably John Fox, right?
Okay. I was hoping it was Ron Rivera just to...
Oh, well, I'd have to go back and check. I guess it could have been, but I don't
think
remember.
Probably not. Probably.
But the overall point is that now you're in the playoffs, and there's two sides to this coin that I've heard, is that, hey, this team can make a run because it's eerily similar to 2007. The conference is wide open. But I've also heard the other part is that it's kind of gravy, right? Nobody expected this. You're in the playoffs. Just get the experience that – I'm not going to feel too bad if they lose the game because nobody expected to be there. But I'd say that if they were playing San Francisco. But the fact is they almost won the game in Minnesota. The Vikings have looked fugazi all year. I don't know if you're a Giant fan. It depends on how it turns out at the end of the day. But I don't know if I'd start talking about gravy in what could be a very winnable game against Minnesota.
I couldn't agree with you more. There's no way you look at this playing with the house's money. You're in the tournament, and this is a team that you played straight up a couple of weeks ago, and you have a chance to win. I'm not saying the Giants are going to win this game, but you can't feel good about just being in. When you played them straight up and you weren't as healthy as you are now, well, you're going into this thinking that you have a chance to win. And as you said earlier, Don, there are no unbeatable teams in the NFC. You can't say that the Giants would be two touchdown underdogs against anybody in the tournament right now. The 49ers, the Eagles, none of them. The Vikings. Do we know what the spread is right now?
I'll tell you. Sure, I can. Want to make some predictions?
Matter of fact, I'd love all the spreads. Because I got to believe that they're all pretty close, right?
Should we go through and predict first? Or you want to just get to it?
No, it's always it's a very predictable show.
Let's have the game, and we'll predict what we think the spread is.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So who goes first?
Let's start. I'll go in order. Here you go, guys. Saturday, 4:30, Seattle at San Francisco.
9.5.
I'll say 8.5.
I'm gonna go with.
You have it in front of you.
I'm not looking yet. I want to play along. I'm going to go with 9.5 as well.
And the answer is?
I see it at an even 10.
It is 10.
We're brilliant.
We go to 8:15, the Mike Tirico vehicle on next Saturday night.
Can we get the announcers out of the way now so we don't get bogged down on Friday?
No way. We got a lot of announcers. Let's see. So 8:15, Chargers at Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Uh-huh. Jaguar.
I'm going to call this a Jaguar. Jaguars minus 2.
I'd say the Chargers are 3.5-point favorites.
No, I would go with I'll say this is a Jaguars favored by 3.
Anthony.
Chargers minus 1.
Wow.
Love the Jaguars.
Chargers minus 1. All right, we go to 1 o'clock Sunday. The Dolphins at the Bills.
That might be 12.5.
Mm.
Because, again, it depends on their quarterback. Who's going to quarterback for the Dolphins? Yeah, Skyler was not great.
Not great? That's one way of putting it.
I'm going to go as high as I'll go 13.
I'm going to go with the good 2 touchdowns, 14 points.
Bills minus 10.5.
Wow, we're hacks. Okay, then we have your New York Foosball Giants at the Minnesota Vikings.
I'd say the Giants are 6.5-point underdogs.
Ooh, I'll go 3.5.
I'll split the difference at 4.5.
On a neutral site, it would be even. Minnesota minus 3.
Wow. Man, that team, people really think you stink. That is a lot of wins to have no one believe. And I understand why. So.
No, that's just going to really upset Brzezinski, and we love that.
The Ravens at the Bengals.
Bengals 10.5.
I'll go 9 even.
I'll go 9.5.
I think you're all thinking that Lamar Jackson will not play. I think this spread indicates that he will. Bengals minus 6.5.
Love the Bengals.
Yeah. I think we're tipping our hand here, guys.
Not me. I don't know any of this. I don't know what I like. Monday night foosball, the Cowboys at the Bucks. This is an interesting one to try to guess.
Cowboys at the Bucks.
Let me throw one out there. I don't want to be influenced. I'm going to say Cowboys minus 2.5.
Cowboys lit the. Go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry.
I say Cowboys 5.5-point favorites.
Wow.
Yeah, they lit them up early in the season. But they are coming off just a disgusting performance. I'll say Cowboys are favored by 4.5.
Cowboys minus 3 in Tampa.
I win. I win on that one.
Wow.
That is a sad state of affairs for that team.
So that's the Monday vehicle, huh?
That's the Monday vehicle, sure. Sure, sure. That's
so we got the Giants now, 3-point underdogs to the Vikings. And have you ever seen Vikings have 14 wins, right? Or is it 13 wins?
13-4. Yeah. 8-1 at home, by the way, and they're only favored by
3. 8-1 at home, and you're playing a team that's 9-6-1, or
9-7-1.
9-7-1, and you're essentially at a neutral site. They consider these teams even.
Well, I mean, what's changed since the performance a couple of weeks ago, where it came down to overtime? Right. I mean, not overtime, but the long field goal at the end of regulation.
Giants are better.
Maybe.
But it's home, it's the playoffs, so I think they're just being fair. And listen, everybody that you talk to loves the Giants. I wouldn't be surprised if that drops to, 2.5?
The Vikings have a minus 3-point differential on the season.
Yeah, that's,
they scored 424. They gave up 427.
What does that tell you?
They're average.
They are. But I wouldn't say their division. Listen, I guess you would say outside of the Lions, but the Lions started out awful. Packers didn't make the playoffs. That was a miserable loss last night. And you lose at home to a team that was eliminated just an hour before. That's awful. And the Bears ended up being terrible. So was it a product of the division, the schedule? But that, to me, they're a very average team. They are not their record.
So they are not what their record says they are.
No, I don't think so.
Interesting. Going up against Parcells. Very.
But I would think he would admit the same thing, that there is exceptions to every rule. I think they're a good team, and they deserve to win that division. And maybe they'll win this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But I'm saying, you look at that and you say to yourself that that's a championship caliber team. That's a championship caliber record. But you know what's interesting, Peter, looking at that division? How many times did Green Bay win that division 13-3 and give you nothing in the postseason? So maybe there is something to coming out of that division that tells you you're not as good as the rest of the division winners outside of the South, because come on, that division stinks.
I mean,
both Souths.
Although I love the Jaguars, and I've won over Peter with the thick-neck Trevor Lawrence.
He didn't cover himself in glory on a couple of nights ago, but he is the real deal, I believe.
He is.
But here's the magical question. We'll get to the Jets later. But if the Jets did tank a couple of years ago and they got Lawrence and the Jaguars got Wilson, would Wilson won that game on Saturday night, getting him into the playoffs, and Lawrence would be reading a book?
Don't know, because you know what? Lawrence wasn't good last year with Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer's a joke, and Lawrence didn't play well, but they brought in a professional coach.
I am not going to take everything away from the quarterbacks, but you're a product of who's coaching you. And you saw it from Lawrence last year. Now you get a legitimate coach, knows what he's doing. And listen, they're also a product of a bad division where they finished 9-8. If the Tennessee Titans had won that game, they'd go in and win the division under 500. Right? You know, so it's a product of who you're playing for, your coach, the environment, the division that you're in. But the fact is that he's got his team in the playoffs, and that team could be a little scary to me. You got a Super Bowl head coach. You got a team that they may not be playing with house money, but I think nobody's going to kill them if they lost.
Well, that is the Big Blue Report, brought to you by Jack Pocket. Powerball is a lot of money. I've played it today. Mega Millions is a lot of money. Powerball is $1.1 billion.
Wow, that is a lot of money.
And then Mega Millions was like $324 over the weekend, and nobody won that. So play official state lottery games on your phone with Jack Pocket. Download the Jack Pocket app and get your first ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. Quick story about that. So we were driving the kids. It's somewhere upstate New York. And they took a skiing lesson.
Oh, my God.
We're trying to give them stuff that I've never been on skis. Jody's never been. Well, once I think she was on skis. So we want to see if they take to it and they could, you know, go with their friends whenever if they go skiing. And we're driving through a really sketchy area. And I said to Jody, got to pull over. And she said, why? I said, got to play the lottery here. Because you know you're not going to win the lottery playing it in New York City. You're just not. It's always a really kind of a place where, wow, that's some place that you're glad that they won the lottery there. I was trying to fool them. I've already lost my Saturday games.
Oh.
I'm sad, right?
I'm very sorry to hear that.
So am I.
I was really dialed into that Packer game last night. Wanted to put the nail in your coffin, buddy.
Well, let's get to that right now. Michael K. Show Pro Pick, sponsored by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Peter is really spiraling out of control.
What?
He got 4 points yesterday, but he did lose that Packer game. He was 2-1, so he's just 63.5 points.
This is why, Don, this is why people don't trust the media. Do you hear what he just said? I was 2-for-3. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but you're missing. You're losing big bets. You lost a 2-pointer yesterday.
That's
Don.
Me?
By the way, Don, if you were a man of conviction, you would not even take the cover on the Jet game. That's disgraceful. disgraceful.
I gotta tell you.
Oh no! You say, listen, I'm not taking that.
But that's not what we do here. Was I fortunate? Yeah. Have I been burned by backdoor covers before? Sure. So I don't feel remotely bad about it. As a matter of fact, we, because of a family COVID issue during Christmas, we did not go to my mom's for Christmas Day. So we celebrated it yesterday. So we went over the house. So I was with my brother. My brother's at the dining room table. I'm watching the end of the game. He's like, what's happening in the game? I said, they're doing the Stanford band play. I think I got a chance to cover. Because I'm thinking about what happened with the Raiders and the Patriots. And then there was almost a scoop and score for the touchdown. I see it go into the end zone, and I'm screaming, I'm going to cover. I'm going to get the safety. And then I saw a safety signal. But what does Fox do, Michael?
They go off at 9-6.
They go off 9-6. I get an alert on my phone from my NFL app, 9-6. Like, what do you mean 9-6? And then Michael's like, I saw it too. And then eventually it came over at 11-6, but yeah, I got
it. No, it was, now that when you describe it that way, Don, it's the most ludicrous cover of all time.
It's crazy.
I'm annoyed about it enough just that it impacted our bets. Imagine if you had 50 grand on that game.
Oh, unbelievable. You wonder why people bet. I mean, the angst. Anyway, all of us took 1, 2 out of 3. Don and I had our 3-point and our 2-point pick. I was a moron. And took the Cowboys.
Yeah,
No.
That's on them. That's on the Cowboys.
No, it's on me. Why would I even pick them?
I had the Commanders written down, and then when you guys both went Cowboys, I went, you know what? That's already in play for me anyway. Just leave it alone.
Big number. I should have gone with Mr. Howell. You go with Mr. Howell.
I got to tell you, Mr. Howell.
Stop yourself.
Talented kid.
Yeah. Is he going to be the quarterback next year?
I don't. Why? What, hold on. What makes you so sure he won't be?
What table is he sitting at? At your wedding.
He's dead last right now, but right. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. He can run, and he had a 50-yard bomb to Terry McLaurin.
Have you ever seen, Don, anybody fall in love like
beautiful.
This guy?
Well, did I fall in love, or I just said I liked him?
No, listen, this is the same it's the same syndrome that all those Giant fans were having that you were destroying on the air last week that were falling in love with Jones.
The same Jet fans
were falling in love with Mike White.
That's why they pay you the money they pay you.
Yeah, but hold on. No, you're falling for what Michael just said. We're acting as if I got in the air and I went, well, guys, my team has a quarterback. That didn't happen. Michael just laughed it off. Listen, the rookie got a shot. He played pretty well. I want to see more. I wouldn't be happy if they just go, all right, we decided we're going with Sam Howell next season. We're not going to do anything else. No, I would not be thrilled with that.
I wonder what his girlfriend Lovey thinks. Anyway, here's what stands right now. The regular season winner is Peter.
Thank you.
At 30-23 and won 63.5 points.
It's a solid
Don
record.
Finishes second at 25-26-3, 54.5 points.
Horrible record.
Michael is 25-27-2, 53 points. But the playoffs play a big role in this, and that's where we stand right now. Peter lost a 2-pointer with the Packers. Don's 3-pointer was huge. He had the Lions. I thought when Seahawks won, the Lions would pack it in, but they played hard. Somehow Dan Campbell's nose didn't fall off. That was a big win. Let's see. Don's 1-pointer was also the Cowboys. And everybody else won their picks. So there you go. That's the Michael Kay Show Pro Pick, sponsored by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. A lot of stuff going on in the NFL today. We still have to talk about the Jets. Talk to Robert Saleh a little bit later on, hopefully in this hour. The Jets, 6 straight losses to end the season. Not great to feel good about, I'll tell you that. But before we break, we want to remind you it's 98.7 ESPN Superbox Bonanza 2023. We're giving away thousands of dollars in cash and prizes, including a grand prize of $2,000 and a trip to Bimini in the Bahamas. Get your boxes for the big game by listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg from 6 to 10, Bart and Hahn from noon to 3, and the Michael Kay Show from 3 to 7. Now, this year, we've made every box a super box with over 100 prizes, including Solo stoves, Beats headphones, Billy Joel tickets, Amex gift cards, and much more. It is all brought to you by Bartesian Premium Home Cocktail Makers, Sloman's, Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas. Got more stuff too here, but the pages, they are sticking together. In that
what
very,
the F?
Yeah. PC Richard and Son.
Let's go!
Grand Marnier, an award-winning blend of fine cognac and orange liqueur, and 98.7 ESPN New York. For full contest details, go to ESPNNewYork.com. This is great.
Superbox Bonanza.
Good stuff. So stick around. We'll take your phone calls. The lines are jammed. We're going to have a good time. We're on until 7. Now, we have the Knick game after that. So the pregame show's at 7. Knick game against the Bucks is at 7:30. Following coverage of the Knick game, the College Football National Championship, TCU and Georgia. And when those two teams meet, you can throw away the records.
By the way, the big news, breaking news.
What's that?
I believe I'm sitting down and watching that game tonight. What are your thoughts?
I will call you a couple of times, and I don't think you'll be watching.
I am planning on watching. Can't say something else won't come up. New Netflix release, whatever it may be. But I'm planning. I mean, listen, I'll be obviously keeping an eye on Monday Night Raw at the same time. But I'm going to watch the game tonight.
Rich Cimini, the print media, is talking with Robert Saleh right now. He says, Wilson will have a chance to compete, but he stopped short of saying he's the 23 starter.
Wait, really? But he said he's the future of the team still. And, huh. It's interesting.
Compete against who?
That is the question we'll ask Robert for ourselves. We're saving that one for ourselves. So stick around. The show's going to be great. He should be joining us right around 3:30, they're saying, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're waiting on the coach of the Jets, Robert Saleh, to join us. So while we wait, we will go to the phones. Let's go to Matthew in Brooklyn. Matthew, why don't you start it off?
Yeah, I just have a little problem about what was said about the Vikings. How could you possibly say that when the Giants, 10 teams out of the top the draft next year?
What?
You and the Giants are no good if you're going to look at it like that.
I don't understand what you're saying.
We can't understand you. Say again.
Saying that the Vikings are no good because they're point differential.
Right.
No, we said they're overrated, not good. They're good. They're just overrated.
No. You didn't even say that, Don. We said their record, they're not as good as their record.
Right. They're not as good as their record.
The Giants are?
Yeah, the Giants are exactly
Giants
around
that. The Giants are exactly
about 9-7-1.
Okay, go look at the top 10 draft picks. 11. Giants played 7 teams out of the top 11 draft picks for next year.
Well, what's your point? The Vikings are 13-4. That's the only point we're making. The Giants are almost 500.
They're a good team. I just don't think they're one of the best teams in the league.
Just for the record,
you've got to have a better point differential.
Do you think they're a great team, Matthew?
I think they have a chance at going to the Super Bowl. Correct.
They do. Of course they have a chance.
They do.
They have a chance, but listen, the
not
fact
the
is,
bet, they have
Vegas
chance.
Vegas decided that this 13-4 right. team, who, by the way, I picked a lot this year. I like the Vikings. I like Cousins. 13-4, and they're 3-point favorites at home. They're seen as even as the Giants.
I don't think anybody would be surprised they won by 3 touchdowns on Sunday. I all I'm saying is that all year long, following them all year, because I'm with Peter. I like the Vikings. I hope they go to the Super Bowl.
They're a fun team.
The Giants don't go. They're a fun team. They're a great story. I'd love to see them make a run, but I just don't know how good they are when your point differential is 10. You're a 13-4 team, and your point differential is almost even, and they've got a home playoff game against a team that's a 6 seed, and they're a 3-point favorite, which means if they played that game on Mars, it'd be even. right? And they played to right down to the very last second of regulation just a couple of weeks ago. So all we're saying is you look at 13-4, you're like, whoa, that's one of the best teams in football. No, I think they're a good team. I don't think they're one of the best teams in football. But, you know, good luck to them. I hope they make a run.
And the way that people look at it is point differential. And their point differential is -3. You know how rare that is for a team to be almost 10 games over 500 and have a -3 point differential? It doesn't happen.
Now the one thing they've got going for them, if you want to spin it positive, if the caller really wanted to make a point to support the Vikings, they know how to win close games. They've done it all year. So they might be overrated. I don't think their record indicates how good they are. But the one thing to hang your hat on if you're a Viking fan, if it's coming down to the wire, they're probably going to win. Because that's the kind of team they are.
You want point differential? The Giants are -6. And you know what? That makes sense. Giants are not a great team.
No, they're not a great team either. But point differential, goal differential, however you look at it in sports, is a great indicator of how good you are. Now, they've been good at home, but, you know, the Cowboys walked in there and blasted them, right? So but unfortunately, the Vikings almost, Peter, represent to me, like, the conference. Like, I think the whole conference is kind of just like, well, who's going to come out of it? So they can go to the Super Bowl for sure. I just don't think they're 13-4 good. That's all we said.
Yeah, and listen, I as of a month ago, I was like, oh, people are underrating this Vikings team. They're not getting any respect from Vegas. And then they've done several things and had several performances that made me go, oh, okay, I get it. You want the most telling thing to me about this conference is that to me, as of the last 6 weeks, hands down the best team in the conference is the San Francisco 49ers. And yet we still have no idea what their quarterback really is. And that's the best team. So I believe the Eagles do not seem to be the Eagles of earlier in this season. Would you guys agree?
Agreed.
And the 49ers have been the hottest team in football. But who knows what Brock Purdy's going to be like in a huge spot. So, Don, you're right. I mean, listen, this Giants team, if they were to go on a run, it might be the most untalented Giants team to ever have gone on a run. But to say it's impossible this year, you can't rule it out. They played close with the Eagles yesterday with no Jones and Saquon.
Now, let me give you the plus minus of some other teams in the NFC. 49ers are plus 173.
Oh, my. That's, see.
Eagles are plus 133, and Dallas is plus 125.
They were minus 20 yesterday.
Yeah, you're right.
God, you got to feel good about that. I know that it was a lost season. You didn't make the plus. You must have really enjoyed yesterday.
No, listen, yesterday was one of those ones it was one of the meaningless ones you remember. That I'm like, I will always remember the Cowboys came in looking to build momentum. And in what will be the last home game in the Dan Snyder era, we beat the Cowboys from pillar to post. By the way, we weren't good. They were so bad, Don. I don't know how much, if you watched any.
No, I was flipping back and forth. And
it could have been.
Dak was terrible.
If Washington had been decent, like we could have won by 40 points. They were awful.
All right,
awful.
Let's bring in the coach of the New York Jets.
Oh, sure.
And it's time for the Gang Green Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Robert Saleh joins us now. Robert, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. So the season is over, not the ending that you envisioned. Your quick thoughts on the 6-game losing streak at the end and the inability to put the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, obviously a lot of frustrations in this things, but try to find silver linings and everything. And I know there's a lot of things that we can learn from this season. So, we got to December. We played 6 consecutive games against teams that were fighting for playoff spots, and obviously we didn't finish. We didn't get any of them. 5 of those teams are going to the playoffs. One of them won 7 of 9 to finish the season. So it's the silver lining is that we played legitimate December football. We battled, took a lot of teams down to the wire, and it didn't work out the way we wanted to, but. It gives me confidence that I know we'll be in this position next year, and I have a lot of confidence in our ability to figure out a way to finish this opportunity when we get it.
Well, one of the things we always hear, Coach, if the Jets had fill-in-the-blank, decent, average quarterback, they would be in the playoffs. Do you agree?
Well, I think you can kind of say that for all 32 teams. You know, there's, and I never like to compare, but I look at our friends down south in Tennessee, who started 7-3, and they just, you know, their season gets derailed a little bit. But, you know, there's things we got to do as a coaching staff. We got to get better too in terms of how we put our players in position to be as successful as they can. But, you know, it's not just the quarterback. You know, you've got, you know, our O-line play's got to get more consistent. Running backs, receivers are young. They've got to get more consistent. Coaching's got to get more consistent. And if we can all be consistent around the quarterback, odds are he'll be more consistent. So it's an all-encompassing thing. I know the quarterback gets the most fanfare because he's the most visible, but this is an organizational thing, not just one player.
But outside of the offensive line play, which I agree needs to be better, I thought your wide receivers were fantastic. I mean, I even though you didn't get touchdown production, I didn't see a lot of weaknesses out of your wide receivers. What did you see?
Yeah, no, the wide receivers have been they're young. So Elijah Moore came on really, really strong. I know he didn't get the production he wanted, but I thought he finished the season fantastic. Garrett's going to be a stud for a long time. Braxton does a lot of really good things. Corey Davis is obviously a really good player. Mims finished the season strong. So you're right. I love the receiver group, but when you're young, it's not always going to be super consistent in terms of an execution. But with that said, they got better all year. They play their absolute tails off, and I know as they get a year older, it's going to get even better. And that group that's one of the groups that I feel really confident with going in the next year, that the consistency that we're looking for will continue to elevate to the level that it needs to be a successful football team.
Will you commit, Coach, that Zach Wilson is going to be the guy throwing to those wide receivers next year?
Yeah, it's like I said, I am committing to Zach, and like I've said, I speak for Joe on this one, that we're all in on developing the young man and making sure that he turns into the player that we all know he's capable of. He's a tremendous young man. He works his tail off. But at the same time, just like all positions, we're always going to cross our T's, dot our I's. But as far as we're concerned, Zach is going to be here, and he's going to have a chance to be that guy.
I want to dive deeper into the conversation that closed out last week, Coach, where you felt like playing could do more harm than good for Zach. But yet you still had him as the backup quarterback yesterday, where if Flacco got hurt in the first play, he would be playing. So why was he dressed and backing up if you were not wanting to play him in the first place?
Because you're limited on roster spots. You know, we had a lot of injuries. And so there's a myriad of things that you can talk about. But, you know, ideally – we get him to the off season so he can get his chance to reset, but there's certain circumstances. He's our number two quarterback, so he had to play if it came down to it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Another thing that you said last week, and I was curious about it, you know, you want him to reset and read a book and get his priorities in order. I mean, does he not have a priority to be the best quarterback that he can be? Is that something that's reared its ugly head?
No. I appreciate you asking this question because that's a very good question. He wants to be the best quarterback in football, and he works harder at football than just about anyone you can possibly imagine. But can you take yourself back to when you were a 23-year-old? Did you know anything about yourself at that time? Honestly, I'm asking you guys. I'm turning into the questionnaire.
Well, no. I'm a freak. I wanted to be the Yankee announcer since I was 9. So, yeah,
But you knew what you wanted, but did you know who you were? Did you know what you valued? Did you know who you were as a person? Like, I know I was at Michigan State at the Silver Dollar Bar drinking Long Island iced teas, trying to have a good time. Like, I had no idea who the heck I was. None of us know. You don't know as a 23-year-old. And you really don't know who you are until you're in your 30s. And the challenge for him is to see if he can get there a little bit quicker. Because I think the faster he can get there, everything else is going to fall into place. So there's an old saying that if – if your world's right, the man will be right. And it's just a matter of him just getting his world right and who he is and how he identifies in the world with regards to his what he values and what's important to him. And it's not even expected of a 23-year-old. It's just that it was a gift that was passed down to me when I was 30, and I feel like it changed my world. And I feel like if he can figure that out at the young age of 23 and continue to build on him, everything else will kind of fall into place. So it's not a football thing for him. Like he works harder than just about anybody. And it's just a matter of just go back and just figure it out. Like sometimes you get caught up in trying to be somebody that you think you have to be because you have a certain role, and that's not the case. And you can get confused sometimes. And for him, it's just a matter of it's okay to be you, bud. Just relax, be confident in who you are, and just go play ball.
Are you in lockstep with Coach LaFleur, who said that in retrospect, maybe having him not start his rookie season would have been beneficial?
You know, like I said, you could always go hypothetical and look back and play the hindsight's 2020 game, but I always go back and reflect. All right, it hasn't gone the way we wanted, but it doesn't mean that it's over. That's first and foremost. But when we look back at that camp, you know, he was obviously the best in rookie minicamp, the best one we had. And then he went to OTAs, and he was by far our best quarterback. He went to training camp and had a really good training camp. He was really good and had everybody excited in preseason. And so he earned his right to be on the football field first. He earned that. And now since then, he had an injury that derailed him for four games his rookie year. He missed half of training camp this year in the first four games. And it, you know, so I don't hold him against the wall and pin him for all the lack of consistency. I think I can give him an out on a million different things, but, you know, he earned his right to play. He finished the season strong last year. He's going to be a good quarterback. You know, it's just, there's certain things that we've got to check some boxes on before, so we can give him a chance to go back and compete.
Robert Saleh is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. Coach, I don't know if you can answer this or if you want to answer it, but we have heard a lot of rumors that the owner of the Jets, Woody Johnson, is intrusive to the point of being very, very involved and has been pushing you all year. He wants Zach Wilson on the field. Is that true? Is any of that true?
So Woody, as an owner, has every right to ask questions, and you know, that's his right. But one thing Woody is very supportive of is the decisions that we make. And, you know, he'll ask questions, he'll challenge us, which is not exclusive to him. That's all 32 owners, which they have that right. But, he has not pushed for us to do anything. And has not swayed us in any direction. He trusts us to make the best decisions for the organization.
There's also been rumors that he is not a fan of LaFleur. And let me ask you, Coach, is LaFleur coming back next year?
Things we got to evaluate. You know, there's a lot of discussions to be had. And again, same thing with Woody. Woody doesn't have, he asks questions, but he does not have an opinion on that matter at all. So this is a decision that he's left up to me and our staff, and it's something that we'll evaluate in the coming days.
I know, Coach, obviously things didn't go the way you wanted at quarterback, but at the same time, you had the same roster of quarterbacks all season. You managed to score points in the first half of the season and just could not score the last 6 weeks or so. What can you attribute it to?
You know, I've said it before. There's... It always starts in coaching. I got to start with us first. Always, always, always. And, you know, there's things you've got no control over. You know, our O-line has battled its butt off, and I appreciate how hard they fought to get on the football field. But at the same time, just, you know, when you're in and out of the lineup at offensive line, where that's just a group that needs so much play together and so much consistency, it makes it difficult. It makes it difficult to get consistency out of the quarterback position. But it always starts with us as coaches. Is there something that we could have done for the offensive line to make it easier for them? Is there something that we could have done better for the quarterback room? You're always looking at different ways as we reflect to make things easier. But it's not just one thing that you can point your finger on. Just on that side of the ball, it's just kind of a snowball effect, if you will, in terms of just all the different things that piled up as the season went on.
You know, Robert, I loved your analogy about, you know, taking us back to when we were 23 years old and what we're going through. But how scary is it for you that everything's accelerated when you're the quarterback at an NFL team? By the end of next year, you're going to have to make a decision on his fifth-year option. Jobs can be lost while he's in the process of finding it. You know, we had the luxury of taking our time. Time is not on your side with Zach figuring this out.
Yeah, and that's what's important. That's the discipline of football, in my opinion, and holding true to who you are as an individual and as a decision maker. When I was hired to be the Jets head coach, I was hired with the idea that, and it's all coaches, we come and go, but my ultimate goal not only was to bring championships, but was to leave this organization better than when I first got it. And that means staying true to who you are, staying disciplined to the players who are here, and continuing to develop them the best way you can, and staying true to the building of this organization, back from the ground up from where it was. And now we've made progress, but just because the perception of time is not on your side doesn't mean you try to accelerate a building process and take what is a rock solid build and start piling on a house of cards. You got to stay disciplined to the job that you were hired to do, and not start panicking just to save your job.
Robert, I'm really curious. It was a really long embrace with you and the Dolphin coach Mike McDaniel yesterday. What were you guys talking about?
Oh man, I love that guy, man. You guys ever hear our story? I mean, me and him shared a big old team meeting room. So I was hired as an intern in Houston under Dom Capers. Vic Fangio was the defensive coordinator. I was his assistant. And, you know, because I was an intern, when Dom was released, was fired, I had nowhere to go. They couldn't fire me with the staff. I was an intern. And so Gary Kubiak comes in, and I'm in this big old staff room all by myself, and in comes Mike McDaniel. He's the quality control, and we're sitting across from each other, and this is way back in 06. And he and I shared that room for the next 4 or 5 years, and have been very, very close ever since. And we've gone through a lot of things together, and I love him to death. And I'm just obviously I'm not gonna tell you guys what he told me, but he's a good man. And I'm really happy that he's got this opportunity to get to the playoffs.
You're so even keel, coach, with us all year. How ticked off are you that you're not in the playoffs?
I'm pissed. And it's, but you know, you've got to control your emotions best you can and be able to, you know, we live in a knee-jerk reaction society. And a lot of times we can act emotionally, when we're emotionally charged, we can make irrational decisions. And, it's just so important to sit back, reflect, and it's so important to look at the silver linings and of anything that's any decision you're trying to make. Just look at the silver linings and try to reflect on the good that was done. And if once you've established the good things that have been done, you usually find the path to success. And you know, I look back at our season, and there's so many good things to look on. We've improved from a year ago, which, you know, that is what it is. We're all sitting here saying, well, we should be going to the playoffs, and I don't necessarily disagree. But once you look at our roster and you see a top five defense and you see a core of young, talented, skill guys, you start to look at the old line and you realize you're going to get a lot of guys back healthy and you're going to get Breece back. And I know we're going to get more consistency out of the quarterback room. And I start looking back at that 7-4 start, 6-3 before the bye, and I'm like, that wasn't a mirage. We're a damn good football team. And if we get a little more luck along the offensive line with regards to injuries, we're going to be pretty damn good. And so I'm excited to attack this offseason. I'm excited to build on our schemes. I'm excited to add more players. I'm excited for all of it because I know next year we're going to be hell on wheels, and it's going to be fun to watch, just like it was in the first half of the year.
Well, Coach, I think I speak for Don and Peter. You've been total class with us all year. No matter how rough the loss or how great the win, you're the same guy all the time, and you answer all the questions without getting angry. And you know we have to ask them, and we appreciate you coming on every single week. You don't have to do it, and you do it anyway. So thank you, Coach, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Oh, guys, I really appreciate you. I appreciate you guys. know you got a job to do, so I never take it personal. Just don't throw peanuts at me when you see me at a baseball game.
You got it. Come on up to the booth.
I'm kidding.
Thanks, Coach.
I'm kidding. Love to talk to you guys soon.
All right,
thanks, Coach. Happy New Year.
That's the Gangrene Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.